Chapter 1, Fundamentals of Planning. This chapter describes the nature of operations in which commanders, supported by their staffs, develop plans and orders for the conduct of operations. It defines and describes planning and provides a summary of Army's planning methodologies. The chapter also provides a description of plans and orders, guides to effective planning, and common planning pitfalls to avoid. The chapter concludes with multinational planning considerations. The nature of operations. To understand the fundamentals of planning, soldiers must appreciate the general nature of operations. Military operations vary in scale of forces involved, duration, and level of violence. While most operations conducted by Army forces occur below the threshold of armed conflict, large-scale combat operations are the most demanding. In armed conflict, Army forces face thinking and adaptive enemies, differing agendas of various actors, and changing perceptions of civilians in an operational area. As friendly forces try to impose their will on enemy forces resist and seek to impose their will on friendly forces. A similar dynamic occurs among civilian groups whose own desires influence and are influenced by military operations. Appreciating these relationships among opposing human wills is essential to understanding the fundamental nature of operations. Military operations are inherently dynamic and uncertain. The complexity of friendly and enemy organizations, unique combinations of terrain and weather, and the dynamic interactions among all participants create uncertainty. Chance and friction further increase the potential for chaos and uncertainty during operations. Chance pertains to unexpected events or changes beyond the control of friendly forces, while friction describes the obstacles that make the execution of even simple tasks difficult. Both are always present for all sides during combat. The scale, scope, tempo, and lethality of large-scale combat operations add to the chaotic and uncertain nature of operations, making precise cause and effect determinations difficult or delayed. For example, a commander and staff may be uncertain about the exact location and strength of an enemy force. Even if the staff feels confident about the enemy's location and strength, the commander still questions what to infer from those facts, the enemy's intentions, for example. Even if the commander makes a reasonable inference, the many options available to the enemy make predicting the enemy's exact behavior difficult. Given the nature of operations, the object of planning is not to eliminate uncertainty, but to develop a framework for action in the middle of it. Planning. Planning is the art and science of understanding a situation, envisioning a desired future, and determining effective ways to bring that future about. ADP 5.0. Planning helps leaders understand situations, identify and develop solutions to problems, direct, coordinate, and synchronize actions, prioritize efforts, and anticipate events. In its simplest form, planning helps leaders determine how to move from the current state to a more desirable future state and identify opportunities and risks that may arise along the way. Planning may be highly structured, involving the commander, staff, subordinate commanders, and others who develop a fully synchronized plan or order. Planning may also be less structured, involving the commander and leaders who quickly determine a scheme of maneuver for a hasty attack. Sometimes a planned activity is quite specific with clear goals. At other times, planning must first determine the activity and the goals. Planning is conducted along various planning horizons, points in time that focus an organization's planning efforts, depending on the echelon and circumstances. Some headquarters may plan out to years and months, others plan out to days and hours. An output of planning is a plan or order, a directive for future action. The five-paragraph format, situation, mission, execution, sustainment, and command and signal, is the standard for issuing Army plans and orders. Commanders issue plans and orders to subordinates to communicate their understanding of a situation and their vision for how an operation should unfold. Plans and orders synchronize the action of forces in time, space, and purpose to achieve objectives and accomplish the mission. They inform others outside the organization on how to cooperate and provide support. The plan serves as a foundation from which the force can adjust based on changing circumstances. Planning and the operations process. Planning is a continuous activity of the operations process, the major command and control activities performed during operations. Planning, preparing, executing, and continuously assessing the operation, ADP50. Commanders use the operations process to drive the conceptual and detailed planning necessary to understand an operational environment, OE, visualize and describe the operation's end state and operational approach, make and articulate decisions, and direct, lead, and assess operations. The activities of the operations process are not discrete. They overlap and recur as circumstances demand. While planning may start an iteration of the operations process, planning does not stop with the production of an order. During preparation and execution, the commander and staff continuously refine the order to include developing branch plans to account for changes in the situation. Subordinates and others provide assessments about what works, what does not work, and how the force can do things better. In some circumstances, commanders may determine that the current order, including associated branches and sequels, no longer applies. In these instances, instead of modifying the current order, commanders reframe the problem and develop a new plan. See ADP50 for Doctrine on the Operations Process. Planning and Mission Command. Effective planning incorporates the principles of mission command, the Army's approach to command and control that empowers subordinate decision-making and decentralized execution appropriate to the situation, ADP60. Mission command is based on the Army's view that war is a human endeavor and inherently dynamic and uncertain. No plan can account for every possibility, and most plans must change rapidly during execution if they are to succeed. The principles of mission command are competence, shared understanding, mutual trust, mission orders, commander's intent, disciplined initiative, risk acceptance. Mission command requires an environment of trust and shared understanding among commanders, staffs, and subordinates. It requires building effective teams and a command climate in which commanders encourage subordinates to accept risk and exercise initiative to seize opportunities and counter threats within the commander's intent. Through mission orders, commanders focus leaders on the purpose of the operation rather than on the details of how to perform assigned tasks. Doing this minimizes detailed control and allows subordinates the greatest possible freedom of action to accomplish tasks. Finally, when delegating authority to subordinates, commanders set the necessary conditions for success by allocating appropriate resources to subordinates based on assigned tasks. See ADP60 for Doctrine on Command and Control and the Principles of Mission Command. The Science and Art of Planning. Planning is both a science and an art. Many aspects of military operations, such as movement rates, fuel consumption, and weapons effects, are quantifiable. They are part of the science of planning. The combination of forces, choice of tactics, and arrangement of activities belong to the art of planning. Soldiers often gain knowledge of the science of planning through institutional training, education, and self-study. They gain understanding of the art of planning primarily through operational training and experience. Effective planners are grounded in both the science and the art of planning. The science of planning encompasses aspects of operations that can be measured and analyzed. These aspects include the physical capabilities of friendly and enemy organizations. The science of planning includes a realistic appreciation for time-distance factors, an understanding of how long it takes to initiate certain actions, the techniques and procedures used to accomplish planning tasks, and the terms and graphics that compose the language of military operations. While not easy, the science of planning is important to understand and master. There are several resources available to planners concerning the scientific aspects of operations, including planning factors by warfighting functions, friendly unit tables of organization, detailed sustainment planning factors, and threat models. In addition to specific echelon and unit doctrinal publications, key Department of the Army approved resources that contain planning tools, factors, and data include ATP50.2-1 that contains detailed planning considerations and factors by echelon and by warfighting function. The United States Army Directorate of Force Management Force Management System website provides tables of organization and equipment for all Army units, including the command relationships of subordinate organizations. The Combined Arms Support Command Planning Branch website provides several sustainment-related planning tools and calculators, including Operational Logistics Planner, Quick Logistics Estimation Tool, Platform Calculator, Food and Water Tool, Class 3 Bulk Estimation Tool, Convoy Planning Tool. ATP 4-02.55 provides discussion on the use of Joint Medical Planning Tool and Army Health System Support Planning. Army Technique Publications on Russian, Chinese, North Korean, and Iranian Forces. Center for Army Lessons Learned and Joint Lessons Learned Information Systems, known as JILIS, Observations, Insights, and Lessons, also known as OIL, Products and Publications. Mastery of the science of planning is necessary for military professionals to understand the physical and procedural constraints under which units operate. These constraints include the effects of terrain, weather, and time on friendly and enemy forces. However, because combat is an intensely human activity, the solutions to problems cannot be reduced to a formula. This realization necessitates the study of the art of planning. The art of planning requires creative application of doctrine, units, and resources. It incorporates operational art and the art of tactics, discussed in FM 3-90, to develop plans that comply with the commander's intent and planning guidance. The art of planning requires understanding the dynamic relationships among friendly forces, the threat, and other aspects of an OE during operations. It includes making decisions based on skilled judgment acquired from experience, training, study, imagination, and critical and creative thinking. Commanders, supported by their staffs, apply judgment based on their knowledge and experience to select the right time and place to act, assign tasks, prioritize actions, and allocate resources. The functions of planning. Imperfect knowledge and assumptions about the future are inherent in all planning. Planners cannot predict with precision how enemies will react or how other actors will respond during operations. Nonetheless, the understanding and learning that occurs during planning has great value. Even if units do not execute the plan exactly as envisioned, and few ever do, planning results in an improved understanding of the situation that facilitates future decision-making. Planning and plans help leaders build situational understanding, identify, understand, and develop solutions to problems, identify, mitigate, and accept risk, direct, coordinate, and synchronize action, task organize the force and prioritize efforts, anticipate events, build situational understanding. Success in operations demands timely and effective decisions based on applying judgment to available information and knowledge. As such, commanders and staffs seek to build and maintain situational understanding throughout the operations process. Situational understanding is the product of applying analysis and judgment to relevant information to determine the relationships among the operational and mission variables, ADP-60. Planning, including an analysis of the operational and mission variables, helps commanders and staffs develop their initial understanding of an OE as it relates to the unit's mission. Continuous planning helps to maintain situational understanding and build a shared understanding across the force. Understanding an operational environment. An operational environment is the aggregate of the conditions, circumstances, and influences that affect the employment of capabilities and bear on the decisions of the commander, JP-30. For Army forces, an OE includes portions of each of the five domains: land, maritime, air, space, and cyberspace, understood through three dimensions: human, physical, and information. The land, maritime, air, and space domains are defined by their physical areas. The cyberspace domain, a man-made network of networks, transits and connects the other domains through the electromagnetic spectrum. The interrelationship among the land, maritime, air, space, and cyberspace domains require cross-domain understanding. As such, Army leaders seek to understand an OE through the physical, information, and human dimensions inherent to each domain. Understanding the three dimensions from a friendly, threat, adversary or enemy, and neutral perspective helps leaders identify problems, anticipate potential outcomes, and effectively plan operations. The physical dimension is the material characteristics and capabilities, both natural and manufactured, within an operational environment, FM-30. While war is a human endeavor, it occurs in a material environment, and it is conducted with physical things. Each of the domains is inherently physical. Terrain, weather, military formations, electromagnetic radiation, weapon systems and their ranges, and many of the things that support or sustain forces are part of the physical dimension. activities or conditions in the physical dimension create effects in the human and information dimensions. The information dimension is the content, data, and processes that individuals, groups, and information systems use to communicate. The information dimension contains the information itself, including text and images. It also includes the flow or communication pathways of information. Information exchange may be in the form of electromagnetic transmission, print, or speech. The information dimension connects humans to the physical world. The human dimension encompasses people and the interaction between individuals and groups, how they understand information and events, make decisions, generate will, and act within an operational environment, FM3O. The will to act and fight emerges from the complex interrelationship of culture, emotion, and behavior. Influencing these factors by affecting attitudes, beliefs, motivations, and perceptions underpins the achievement of military objectives. See FM3O for more information about the domains and dimensions of an OE. Operational variables. The operational variables assist commanders and staffs in refining their understanding of the domains and dimensions of an OE. Planners analyze and describe an OE in terms of 8 interrelated operational variables: political, military, economic, social, information, infrastructure, physical environment, and time, known as PMECPT. The operational variables help leaders understand the land domain and its interrelationships with information, relevant actors, and capabilities in the other domains. Mission variables. Upon receipt of a mission, commanders filter information categorized by the operational variables into relevant information with respect to the mission. They use the mission variables in combination with the operational variables to refine their understanding of the situation and to visualize, describe, and direct operations. The mission variables are mission, enemy, terrain and weather, troops and support available, time available, civil considerations, and integrated into the other variables, informational considerations, remembered with the mnemonic METTCI. METTCI represents the mission variables leaders use to analyze and understand a situation in relationship to the unit's mission. Informational considerations are those aspects of the human, information, and physical dimensions that affect how humans and automated systems derive meaning from, use, act upon, and are impacted by information. FM3O. Informational considerations is expressed as a parenthetical variable in that it is not an independent variable, but an important component of each variable of METTC that leaders pay particular attention to when developing understanding of a situation. Identify, understand, and develop solutions to problems. Planning helps leaders better understand and identify problems and develop solutions to solve or manage those problems. A problem is an issue or obstacle that makes it difficult to achieve a desired goal or objective. In a broad sense, a problem exists when an individual becomes aware of a significant difference between what is currently observed or occurring in the environment and what is desired. In the context of operations, an operational problem is the issue or set of issues that impede commanders from achieving their desired end state. Identification of the actual problem to solve is critical to successful planning. Misidentification of the problem often leads to an ineffective plan and operational approach and time critical to subordinates for development of their plans. Throughout operations, Army leaders face various problems requiring unique and creative solutions. Not all problems require the same level of planning. Leaders often identify simple problems immediately and quickly decide on a solution, sometimes on the spot. However, planning is critical when a problem is a set of interrelated issues and the solution to each issue affects the others. For unfamiliar situations, planning offers ways to solve the complete set of problems. In general, the more complex a situation is, the more important and involved the planning effort becomes. Just as planning is only part of the operations process, planning is only part of problem solving. In addition to planning, problem solving includes implementing the planned solution, execution, learning from the implementation of the solution, assessment, and modifying or developing a new solution as required. The object of problem solving is not just to solve near-term problems, but to do so in a way that forms the basis for long-term success. Identify, mitigate, and accept risk. Risk, The exposure of someone or something valued to danger, harm, or loss is inherent in all operations. Because risk is part of all military operations, it cannot be avoided. Risk may range for resource shortfall or a course of actions that exposed a friendly force's flank. Identifying, mitigating, and accepting risk is a function of command and a key consideration during planning. During planning, commanders and staffs analyze risk in collaboration with subordinates and their higher-level headquarters to help determine what level of risk exists and how to mitigate it. When considering how much risk to accept with a course of action, commanders consider risk to the force and risk to the mission against the perceived benefit. They apply judgment with regards to the importance of an objective, time available, and anticipated cost. Commanders balance the tension between protecting the force and accepting and managing risks that must be taken to accomplish their mission. Direct, coordinate, and synchronize actions. Plans and orders are the principal means commanders use to direct, coordinate, and synchronize actions. They also inform those outside the unit how to cooperate and provide support. Effective plans and orders direct subordinates by stating what is required, the task, and why, the purpose. They leave much of the how, the method, up to subordinates. Plans and orders contain control measures to coordinate and synchronize action. A control measure is a means of regulating forces or warfighting functions, ADP-60. Control measures aid in coordinating forces without imposing needless restrictions on their freedom of action. Commanders use control measures to assign responsibilities, coordinate fire and maneuver, and control operations. Control measures assign responsibilities, coordinate actions between forces, establish guidelines to regulate freedom of action, and impose only necessary restrictions. Control measures are essential to coordinating subordinates' actions and are located throughout the plan. See FM1-02.2 for a list of control measure symbols. Synchronization is the arrangement of military actions in time, space, and purpose to produce maximum relative combat power at a decisive place and time, JP-20. Plans and orders synchronize the warfighting functions to mask the effects of combat power at a chosen place and time. Plans achieve synchronization by clearly establishing appropriate sequencing of events, units, or actions, conditions to be set prior to action, and establishing the necessary triggers for action. Synchronization is a means of control, not an end. Commanders balance necessary synchronization against desired agility and initiative. Overemphasizing the direction, coordination, and synchronization functions of planning may result in detailed and rigid plans that stifle initiative. Mission Command encourages the use of mission orders to avoid creating overly restrictive instructions to subordinates. Mission orders direct, coordinate, and synchronize actions while allowing subordinates the maximum freedom of action to accomplish missions within the commander's intent. Task organize the force and prioritize efforts. When developing their concept of operations, commanders, assisted by their staffs, first identify the unit's essential task. An essential task is a specified or implied task that must be executed to accomplish the mission. The essential task becomes the basis of the unit's mission statement. The designation of the essential task prioritizes effort and provides the focal point for which the commander and staff develop additional tasks that set conditions for the successful execution of the essential task. When assigning tasks to subordinate units, commanders ensure subordinate units have the capabilities and resources to accomplish their assigned tasks. They do this by task organizing the force, prioritizing efforts, and establishing priorities of support. Task organizing is the act of designing a force, support staff, or sustainment package of specific size and composition to meet a unique task or mission, ADP-30. It includes providing forces and assets to subordinate commanders and establishing their command and support relationships. When task organizing their force, commanders visualize capabilities of units two echelons below them, based on their visualization of tasks to subordinates one echelon below them. Some assets are retained under the commander's immediate control to retain flexibility to exploit opportunities or counter threats. Task organizing includes establishing command or support relationships among subordinate commanders. Army command relationships define command responsibility and authority. Army support relationships define the purpose, scope, and effect desired when one capability supports another. Establishing clear command and support relationships is fundamental to task organizing for any operation. See FM30 for a detailed discussion of joint, multinational, and Army command and support relationships. Task organizing results in a task organization, a temporary grouping of forces designed to accomplish a particular mission, ADP-50. The unit's task organization is stipulated in the base plan or order or addressed in Annex A task organization to the base plan or order. The operation plan, O-plan, or operation order, OP-ORD, also stipulates changes in the task organization by phase. During execution, commanders modify the task organization as required based on the situation through fragmentary orders, FRAG-ORDs. Commanders prioritize efforts by designating a main effort, supporting efforts, and a reserve. The main effort is a designated subordinate unit whose mission at a given point in time is most critical to overall mission success, ADP-30. A supporting effort is a designated subordinate unit with a mission that supports the success of the main effort, ADP-30. A reserve is that portion of a body of troops that is withheld from action at the beginning of an engagement to be available for a decisive movement, ADP-3-90. The main effort is weighted with the preponderance of combat power, the total means of destructive and disruptive force that a military unit / formation can apply against an enemy at a given time, JP-30. Designating a main effort temporarily gives that unit priority for support. Commanders shift resources and priorities to the main effort as circumstances require. Commanders may shift the main effort several times during an operation based on which subordinate unit is most critical to overall mission success at the time. Commanders resource supporting efforts with the minimum assets necessary to accomplish the mission. Forces often realize success of the main effort through success of supporting efforts. A main effort in an earlier phase can be a supporting effort for a main effort in a later phase. Commanders constitute a reserve and base the size of the reserve on the level of uncertainty in the current tactical situation. Commanders consider survivability, mobility, and the most likely mission when positioning their reserve. While commanders can assign their reserve a wide variety of tasks through planning priorities to perform on commitment, a reserve remains prepared to accomplish other missions. Commanders also establish priorities of support during planning and shift priorities during execution as the situation requires. A priority of support is a priority set by the commander to ensure a subordinate unit has support in accordance with its relative importance to accomplish the mission, ADP-50. Priorities of movement, fires, sustainment, and protection all illustrate priorities of support that commanders may use to weight the main effort. Anticipate events. A fundamental tension exists between the desire to plan far into the future to facilitate preparation and coordination and the fact that the farther into the future the commander plans, the greater the associated uncertainty and potentially less relevant the plan will likely remain. Given the fundamentally uncertain nature of operations, the object of planning is not to eliminate uncertainty but to develop a flexible plan that enables the force to adapt to changing circumstances. Planning provides an informed forecast of how future events may unfold and anticipates transitions. It entails identifying and evaluating potential decisions and actions in advance, to include thinking through consequences of certain actions and the potential second and third order effects that may result. Planning involves thinking about ways to respond to potential opportunities and threats. Planning keeps the force oriented on future objectives despite the requirements of current operations. Planning is essential for seizing and retaining the initiative by allowing commanders and staffs to consider potential decisions and actions in advance. Planning reduces the time between decisions and actions during execution, especially at higher echelons. While some actions are implemented immediately, others require forethought and preparation. For example, changing the direction of attack may be a relatively simple and immediate matter for a battalion. However, changing the scheme of maneuver for a division, including all its support, is complicated and time-consuming. Changing the priority of fires at division level may take considerable time if artillery units must reposition. If leaders wait until an event occurs to begin planning and preparing for a response, units may not be able to react quickly enough, ceding the initiative to enemy forces. During execution, planners continue to develop or refine options for potential enemy action and friendly opportunities. By anticipating potential events and transitions beforehand, planning promotes flexibility and rapid decision-making during execution. As a result, the force anticipates events and acts purposefully and effectively before the enemy can act or before situations deteriorate. Several tools are available to the commander and planners to assist in adapting to changing circumstances. These tools include decision points, branches, sequels. A decision point is a point in space and the latest time when the commander or staff anticipates making a key decision concerning a specific course of action, JP50. A decision point is associated to actions by the enemy, the friendly force, or the population, and it is tied to a commander's critical information requirement, CCIR. Examples of friendly actions associated with a decision point range from a single task to a subordinate unit to the force as a whole in executing a branch or sequel. Decision points and associated CCIRs, conditions, and friendly actions are recorded graphically and in narrative form in a combined decision support template, DST, and decision support matrix, DSM. Both the DST and DSM are key tools used to assist the commander in decision-making during execution. Plans and orders often require adjustment beyond the initial stages of the operations through branches and sequels. A branch is the contingency options built into the base plan used for changing the mission, orientation, or direction of movement of a force to aid success of the operation based on anticipated events, opportunities, or disruptions caused by enemy actions and reactions, JP50. Branches anticipate situations that require changes to the basic plan. These situations could result from enemy, friendly, or neutral action, or weather. Commanders build flexibility into their plans and orders by developing branches to preserve freedom of action in rapidly changing conditions. A sequel is the subsequent operation or phase based on the possible outcomes of the current operation or phase, JP50. Sequels are based on outcomes of current operations including success, stalemate, or defeat. A counteroffensive, for example, is a logical sequel to a defense. Exploitation and pursuit follow successful attacks. Executing a sequel normally begins another phase of an operation, if not a new operation. Commanders consider and develop sequels during planning and revisit them throughout an operation. Integrated planning. Planning activities range in level from conceptual to detailed. Understanding an OE and its problems, determining the operation's end state, establishing objectives, and sequencing the operation in broad terms all illustrate conceptual planning. Conceptual planning generally corresponds to operational art, and it is the focus of a commander with staff support. Detailed planning translates the broad operational approach into a complete and practical plan. Generally, detailed planning is associated with aspects of science, such as movement tables, fuel consumption, target lists, weapon effects, and time-distance factors. Detailed planning falls under the purview of staff officers, who focus on specifics of execution. Detailed planning works out the scheduling, coordination, or technical problems involved with moving, sustaining, synchronizing, and directing the force. The commander personally leads the conceptual component of planning. While commanders are engaged in parts of detailed planning, they leave most specifics to staff officers. Conceptual planning provides the basis for subsequent planning. The commander's intent and operational approach provide the framework for the entire plan. This framework leads to a concept of operations and associated schemes of support, such as schemes of maneuver, intelligence, fires, protection, engineer operations, information, and sustainment. In turn, the schemes of support lead to the specifics of execution, including tasks to subordinate units and detachments, including annexes, appendices, tabs, and exhibits, to the base O-plan or op-board. However, this dynamic does not operate in only one direction. Conceptual planning must respond to detailed constraints. For example, the realities of a deployment schedule, a detailed concern, influence the operational approach, a conceptual concern. Planning requires the integration of both conceptual thinking and detailed analysis. Army leaders employ several methodologies for planning, determining the appropriate mix based on the scope and understanding of the problem, time available, and availability of a staff. Army planning methodologies include Army Problem Solving, Army Design Methodology, ADM, the Military Decision-Making Process, MDMP, Rapid Decision-Making and Synchronization Process, RDSP, Troop Leading Procedures, TLP. Army Problem Solving. The ability to recognize and effectively solve problems is an essential skill for Army leaders. Army problem solving forms the base logic of other planning methodologies. Where other methodologies are designed for planning operations, Army problem solving is a methodology available for leaders to use to identify and solve a variety of problems both in garrison and in operations. Army problem solving is an analytical approach to defining a problem, developing possible solutions to solve the problem, arriving at the best solution, developing a plan, and implementing that plan to solve the problem. The steps to Army problem solving are: Step 1, gather information. Step 2, identify the problem. Step 3, develop criteria. Step 4, generate possible solutions. Step 5, analyze possible solutions. Step 6, compare possible solutions. Step 7, make and implement the decision. Army design methodology. When problems are difficult to identify, the operation's end state is unclear, or a course of action, COA, is not self-evident, commanders employ ADM. This is often the case when developing long-range plans for extended operations. ADM is a methodology for applying critical and creative thinking to understand, visualize, and describe problems and approaches to solving them. ADM is particularly useful as an aid to conceptual planning, but it must be integrated with the detailed planning typically associated with the MDMP to produce executable plans and orders. ADM may be conducted before, concurrent with, or after the MDMP. There is no one way or prescribed set of steps to employ the ADM. There are, however, several activities associated with ADM, including framing an OE, framing problems, developing an operational approach, reframing as required. While planners complete some activities before others, the understanding and learning within one activity may require revisiting the learning from another activity. Based on their understanding and learning gained during ADM, commanders issue planning guidance, including an operational approach, to guide more detailed planning using the MDMP. The military decision-making process. The MDMP is an iterative planning methodology used to understand the problem or problems, understand the situation and mission, develop COAs, decide on a COA, and produce an O plan or order. It is an orderly, analytical process that integrates the activities of the commander, staff, and subordinate headquarters in the development of a plan or order. The MDMP helps leaders apply thoroughness, clarity, sound judgment, logic, and professional knowledge to develop situational understanding and produce a plan or order that accomplishes the mission. Note, depending on the situation, including the time available for planning, commanders may initiate the MDMP without the benefits of conducting ADM beforehand. The MDMP consists of 7 steps. Each step has inputs, a series of subsets, and outputs. The outputs lead to an increased understanding of the situation, facilitating the next step of the MDMP. Commanders and staffs generally perform these steps sequentially. However, before producing the plan or order, they may revisit several steps in an iterative fashion as they learn more about the situation. The 7 steps are: Step 1, receipt of mission. Step 2, mission analysis. Step 3, COA development. Step 4, COA analysis. Step 5, COA comparison. Step 6, COA approval. Step 7, orders production, dissemination, and transition. Commanders and staffs often begin the MDMP in the absence of an approved higher echelon headquarters O-Plan or OP-Ord. In some instances, they initiate planning based on a warning order, WARN-ORD, a planning order, or an alert order from higher headquarters. This requires active collaboration with the higher headquarters and parallel planning among echelons as the plan or order is developed. In other instances, the commander recognizes an opportunity or problem to solve and initiates planning in the absence of higher direction. Due to the high tempo of large-scale combat operations and the need to disperse staffs for survivability, commanders may choose to abbreviate the MDMP to ensure timely decisions for subordinate units. Commanders and staffs use several integrating processes to synchronize forces in the warfighting functions within the MDMP. An integrating process consists of a series of steps that incorporate multiple disciplines to achieve a specific end. Key integrating processes that occur within the MDMP include intelligence preparation of the operational environment, IPO, information collection, targeting, risk management, knowledge management, rapid decision-making, and synchronization process. The RDSP is a planning methodology that commanders and staffs may use during execution. The RDSP is not a replacement planning methodology for the MDMP, but a decision-making and planning technique based on an existing order. Using the RDSP lets leaders avoid the time-consuming requirements of developing decision criteria and multiple COAs. Leaders combine their experiences and intuition to quickly understand the situation and develop a COA. The RDSP is based on an existing order and includes 5 steps. Step 1, compare the current situation to the order. Step 2, determine that a decision and what type is required. Step 3, develop a course of action. Step 4, refine and validate the course of action. Step 5, issue and implement the order. Troop leading procedures. TLP are a dynamic process used by small unit leaders to analyze a mission, develop a plan, and prepare for an operation. Company, platoon, and squad leaders lack formal staffs and use TLP to plan and prepare for operations. This places the responsibility for planning primarily on the commander or small unit leader with assistance from key leaders, such as executive officers, XOs, first sergeants, forward observers, supply sergeants, and other specialists in the unit. TLP enables small unit leaders to maximize available planning time while developing plans and preparing their units for an operation. TLP consists of 8 steps. The sequence of the steps of TLP is not rigid. Leaders modify the sequence to meet the mission, situation, and available time. The 8 steps are: Step 1, receive the mission. Step 2, issue a warnord. Step 3, make a tentative plan. Step 4, initiate movement. Step 5, conduct reconnaissance. Step 6, complete the plan. Step 7, issue the order. Step 8, supervise and refine. Plans and orders. A key output of planning is a plan or order. Plans and orders come in many forms and vary in scope, complexity, and length of planning horizon. Strategic plans establish national and multinational military objectives, and they include ways, and they may include the means, to achieve those objectives. Operational-level plans and orders cover a series of related military operations aimed at accomplishing strategic and operational objectives within a given time and space. Tactical plans and orders cover the employment of units in operations, including the ordered arrangement and maneuver of units in relation to each other and enemy forces within the framework of a higher operational-level plan or order. Mission orders. Mission orders are directives that emphasize to subordinates the results to be attained, not how they are to achieve them. ADP 6.0. Mission orders direct subordinates on what to do and why to do it without prescribing exactly how to do it. Mission orders clearly convey the unit's mission and commander's intent. They summarize the situation, describe the operation's objectives and end state, and provide a clear concept of operations to accomplish the mission. When assigning tasks to subordinate units, mission orders include all components of a mission statement: who, what, when, where, and why. However, a mission statement emphasizes the purpose, why, of the tasks to guide, along with the commander's intent, subordinates' initiative. Note, a mission order is not a separate type of plan or order. Rather, it is a technique for writing plans and orders that allow subordinates maximum freedom of action in accomplishing missions. Mission orders contain the proper level of detail. They are neither so detailed that they stifle initiative nor so general that they provide insufficient direction. The proper level of detail is situationally dependent. Some phases of operations require tighter control over subordinate elements than others require. An air assault's air movement and landing phases, for example, require precise synchronization. Its ground maneuver plan requires less detail. As a rule, the base plan or order contains only the specific information required to provide the guidance to synchronize capabilities at the decisive place and time while allowing subordinates as much freedom of action as possible. Commanders rely on subordinate initiative and coordination to act within the commander's intent and concept of operations. Detailed instructions for aspects of an operation or to synchronize specific warfighting functions are addressed in attachments to the base plan or order. Key components of a plan or order. The mission statement, commander's intent, and concept of operations are key components of a plan or order that serve as the framework for an operation. Commanders ensure their mission and commander's intent nest with those of their higher echelon headquarters. While the commander's intent focuses on the end state, the concept of operations focuses on the way or sequence of actions by which the force will achieve the end state. Mission statement. The mission is the essential task or tasks together with the purpose that clearly indicates the action to be taken and reason for the action, JP3O. Commanders analyze a mission based on their higher commander's intent, concept of operations, specified tasks, and implied tasks. Results of that analysis yield the essential task, a specified or implied task that must be executed to accomplish the mission. The essential task, or in some cases tasks, becomes the what of the mission statement. A clear statement of the action to be taken and the reason for taking it. The five elements of a mission statement answer these questions. Who will execute the operation, unit or organization? What is the unit's essential task, normally a tactical mission task or tactical enabling task? Where will the operation occur, assigned area, objective, engagement areas, or grid coordinates? When will the operation begin, by time or event? Why will the force conduct the operation, for what purpose? The who, where, and when of a mission statement are straightforward. The what and why are more challenging to write and can confuse subordinates if not stated clearly. The what is a task and is expressed in terms of action verbs. See ADP 3-90 for a list of tactical tasks. The why puts the task into context by describing the reason, purpose for performing the task. Commander's intent. The commander's intent is a clear and concise expression of the purpose of the operation and the desired objective and military end state, JP3O. The higher echelon commander's intent provides the basis for unity of effort throughout the force. Each commander's intent nests within the commander's intent 1 and 2 echelons above that commander. During planning, the initial commander's intent drives COA development and then is finalized in the order. During execution, the commander's intent establishes the limits within which a subordinate may exercise initiative. The commander's intent succinctly describes what constitutes success for the operation. Commanders convey their intent in a format they determine most suitable to the situation. It may include the operation's purpose, key tasks, and conditions that define the end state. When describing the purpose of the operation, the commander's intent does not restate the why of the mission statement. Rather, it describes the broader purpose of the unit's operation in relationship to the higher commander's intent and concept of operations. Key tasks are those significant activities the force must perform as a whole to achieve the desired end state, ADP 6-0. Key tasks are not specified tasks for any subordinate unit. However, they may be sources of implied tasks. During execution, when significant opportunities present themselves or the concept of operations no longer fits the situation, subordinates use key tasks to keep their efforts focused on achieving the desired end state. Examples of key tasks include terrain the force must control or an effect the force must have on enemy forces. Commanders often include the purpose of each associated key task to facilitate subordinate decision-making and initiative. The end state is a set of desired future conditions the commander wants to exist when an operation ends. Commanders may describe the operation's end state by stating the desired conditions of the friendly force in relationship to desired conditions of the enemy, terrain, and civil considerations. A clearly defined end state promotes unity of effort among the force and with unified action partners. Concept of operations. The concept of operations is a statement that directs the manner in which subordinate units cooperate to accomplish the mission and establishes the sequence of actions the force will use to achieve the end state, ADP 5-0. In the concept of operations, the commander describes how the actions of subordinate units fit together to accomplish the overall mission, essential task and purpose within the assigned area. At a minimum, the description should include the scheme of maneuver and the scheme of fires. Commanders and their staffs use components of the operational framework and integrate elements of operational art as appropriate to describe the concept of operations by time. This refers to the sequencing and synchronization of tasks or operations to attain end state conditions with the least cost in personnel and resources. Space. This refers to the establishing of an assigned area, area of operations, AO, zones, and sectors. Purpose. This refers to the why a unit or organization is conducting a particular action or task. Resources. This refers to designating the priority and allocation of resourcing based on the assignment of the main effort, supporting efforts, and reserve. In developing the concept of operations, commanders and staffs ensure their concept nests with that of their higher echelon headquarters. Nesting a concept is a planning technique to achieve unity of purpose whereby each succeeding echelon's concept of operations is aligned by purpose with the higher echelon's concept of operations. An effective concept of operations describes how forces will support a mission of their higher headquarters and how the actions of subordinate units fit together to accomplish a mission. See FM30 for a detailed description of the operational framework and its components. Planning cells and teams. Coordinating special and personal staff sections are the building blocks for organizing a headquarters into command posts, CPs, for the conduct of operations. Within CPs, staff sections are cross-functionally organized into CP cells, groupings of personnel and equipment organized by warfighting function or by planning horizon. Functional cells group personnel and equipment by warfighting function, movement and maneuver, intelligence, fires, sustainment, and protection. Integrating cells group personnel and equipment by planning horizons. The three planning horizons are long, mid, and short range and are associated with the plan cell, future operations cell, and current operations integrating cell. Note, not all echelons and types of units are resourced for all three integrating cells. Battalions, for example, combine planning and operations into one integrating cell in the main CP. The brigade combat team has a small and dedicated plan cell, but it is not resourced for a future operation cell. Divisions, corps, field armies, and theater armies are resourced for all three integrating cells. See FM60 for a more detailed discussion of the duties and responsibilities of the staff and CP organization, overall planning requirements, and operations. Plan cell. The plan cell is responsible for planning operations in the long-range planning horizon. It develops the initial op board and prepares for operations beyond the scope of the current order, including developing branch plans and sequels. The plan cell also oversees military deception planning. At division echelon and above, the plan cell consists of a core group of planners led by the Assistant Chief of Staff, Plans, G5. At brigade, the plan cell is led by the Brigade Operations Officer, S3. Staff sections support the plan cell with representatives as required. Battalions are not resourced with a dedicated plan cell. Future Operations Cell. The Future Operations Cell is responsible for planning operations in the mid-range planning horizon. This cell focuses on adjustments to current operations and branch planning. The cell consists of a core group of planners led by a Deputy Assistant Chief of Staff, Operations, G3, Chief of Future Operations. Staff sections support the Future Operations Cell with representatives as required. Divisions and higher echelon headquarters are resourced a future operation cell to ensure that the plan cell remains focused on long-range planning activities in support of the commander's shaping and condition-setting aims, and either the next phase of the operation or a subsequent operation, while brigades and battalions are not. The future operation cell serves as a bridge between the plans and current operations integrating cells. The future operation cell monitors current operations and determines implications for operations within the mid-range planning horizon. In coordination with the current operations integrating cell, the future operation cell assesses ongoing operations and whether they require modification to achieve the current phase's objectives. The commander directs adjustments to operations, or the cell may also recommend options to the commander. Once the commander decides to adjust operations, the cell develops the fragords necessary to implement the change. The future operation cell also participates in the targeting working group since the same planning horizons normally concern them both, including setting conditions in the deep area. Current Operations Integrating Cell. The Current Operations Integrating Cell is the focal point for controlling the execution of operations and short-range planning. This involves assessing the current situation and the status of conditions required to achieve objectives, execute critical events, and the completion of directed tasks and missions while regulating forces and warfighting functions in accordance with the mission, commander's intent, and concept of operations. A Deputy G3 Chief of Operations or an Assistant S3 leads this cell. elements or watch officers from each staff section and liaison officers from subordinate and adjacent units form this cell. All staff sections are represented in the current operations integrating cell either permanently or on call. Staff members in the current operations cell normally employ the RDSP when conducting short-range planning. Planning teams. A planning team is a task-organized planning element established to solve problems, and it typically develops long- and mid-range plans for future operations. A planning team consists of a lead planner, normally from the G5, G3, or S3 staff sections, a representative for each warfighting function, additional subject matter experts and liaison officers as required, and administrative support. Integrating functional expertise ensures planners consider all relevant factors, reduce omissions, and share information, resulting in a planning effort that is systematic, coordinated, and thorough. Planning teams are not enduring. They dissolve on completion of their assigned planning tasks. Most planning occurs in the plans or future operation cells. Planners in these cells form the core of a planning team. For major planning requirements, such as the development of a new op board, core planners from the plan cells, representatives from across the staff, liaison officers, and subject matter experts external to the headquarters form a planning team. For lesser planning requirements, smaller teams are established with membership decided based on the mission or specific planning requirements. Unit standard operating procedures, SOPs, should identify standard planning teams based on common planning requirements to rapidly facilitate alerting and forming planning teams. Planning teams must prepare for and recognize indicators to transition a plan between the cells. Since not all headquarters are resourced the same, the timing for transitioning of plans is not always the same, and units should develop procedures to aid in this handoff. Plans transition is a preparation activity that occurs within the headquarters. It ensures members of a cell understand the current plan, assumptions, and relevant planning guidance provided during plan development. See ADP 50 for further discussion on plans to operations transition. Guides to effective planning. Planning is an inherent and fundamental part of command and control, and commanders are the single most important factor in effective planning. Effective planning requires dedication, study, and practice. Planners must be technically and tactically competent within their areas of expertise and understand basic planning concepts. The following guides aid in effective planning. Commander's Focus Planning. Incorporate tenets and imperatives of Army operations. Apply critical thinking. Apply creative thinking. Encourage collaboration and dialogue. Optimize available planning time. Focus on the right planning horizon. Develop and maintain accurate running estimates. Develop simple, flexible plans and orders. Develop a unit planning SOP, PSOP. Commander's Focus Planning. The responsibility for planning is inherent in command. Commanders are planners. They are the central figures to effective planning. Commanders often have the most planning experience, and they are ultimately responsible for the development and execution of the plan. As such, the plan must reflect how commanders intend to conduct operations. Commanders ensure the approaches to planning meet the requirements of time, planning horizons, level of detail, and desired outcomes. Commanders ensure that all plans and orders comply with domestic and international laws and the Army ethic. They confirm that the plan or order is relevant and suitable for subordinates. Generally, the more involved commanders are in planning, the faster staffs can plan. Through personal involvement, commanders learn from the staff members and others about a situation and ensure the plan reflects their commander's intent. While staffs perform essential functions that amplify the effectiveness of operations, commanders drive the operations process through understanding, visualizing, describing, directing, leading, and assessing operations. While depicted sequentially, the activities of understanding and visualizing are iterative. Understand. To understand something is to grasp its nature and significance. Understanding includes establishing context, the set of circumstances that surround a particular event or situation. Understanding an OE and its associated problems is fundamental to establishing a situation's context and visualizing operations. Planning, the integrating processes, and running estimates all help commanders develop situational understanding. During planning and throughout the operations process, commanders collaborate with their staffs, other commanders, and unified action partners to build a shared understanding of their OEs and associated problems. Commanders also have a unique understanding of the capabilities of subordinate units that is relayed to the staff at various times throughout planning. Visualize. As commanders build understanding of their OEs and identify problems, commanders start to visualize solutions to solve identified problems. Collectively, this is known as commander's visualization. The mental process of developing situational understanding, determining a desired end state, and envisioning an operational approach by which the force will achieve that end state, ADP-60. In building their visualization, commanders first seek to understand those conditions that represent the current situation. Next, commanders envision a set of desired future conditions that represents the operation's end state. Commanders complete their visualization by conceptualizing an operational approach, a broad description of the mission, operational concepts, tasks, and actions required to accomplish the mission, JP-50. Describe. Commanders describe their visualization to their staffs and subordinate commanders to facilitate shared understanding and purpose throughout the force. During planning, commanders ensure subordinates understand their visualization well enough to begin COA development. Commanders describe their visualization in graphic or narrative form, using doctrinal terms and refining and clarifying it as circumstances require. During execution, commanders describe modifications to their visualization in updated planning guidance and directives resulting in fragords that adjust the original op-ord. Commanders describe their visualization in terms of commander's intent, planning guidance, including an operational approach, CCIRs. Commander's planning guidance. Commanders provide planning guidance to the staff based upon their visualization. Planning guidance conveys the essence of the commander's visualization, including a description of the operational approach. Effective planning guidance reflects how the commander sees the operation unfolding. The commander's planning guidance broadly describes when, where, and how the commander intends to employ combat power to accomplish the mission within the higher echelon commander's intent. Broad and general guidance gives the staff and subordinate leaders maximum latitude. It enables proficient staffs to develop flexible and effective options. Commanders revise planning guidance based on staff and subordinate input and changing conditions during different stages of planning and throughout the operations process. Commander's critical information requirements. A commander's critical information requirement, CCIR, is specific information identified by the commander as being essential to facilitate timely decision-making, JP-30. A CCIR is directly tied to a decision and establishes a reporting requirement. Commanders decide to designate an information requirement as a CCIR based on likely decisions and their visualization of the operation. A CCIR may support one or more decisions. During planning, staffs recommend information requirements for commanders to designate as CCIRs. Refinement of CCIRs is continuous throughout an operation. During preparation and execution, staffs recommend changes to CCIRs based on their assessments of the operation. Promulgated by a plan or order, commanders limit the number of CCIRs to focus the efforts of limited collection assets. The fewer the CCIRs, the easier it is for staffs to remember, recognize, and act on each one. CCIRs constantly change. Commanders add and delete them throughout an operation based on the information needed for specific decisions. They determine their own CCIRs and select some from staff nominations. Once approved, a CCIR falls into one of two categories: priority intelligence requirements, PIRs, and friendly force information requirements, FFIRs. A priority intelligence requirement is the intelligent component of commander's critical information requirements used to focus the employment of limited intelligence assets and resources against competing demands for intelligence support, JP-20. PIRs identify the information about the enemy and other aspects of an OE that the commander considers most important. Intelligence about civil considerations may be as critical as intelligence about the enemy. For example, this may include information that confirms an enemy capability. A friendly force information requirement is information the commander and staff need to understand the status of friendly force and supporting capabilities, JP-30. FFIRs identify the information about the mission, troops and support available, and time available for friendly forces that the commander considers most important to mission accomplishment. See ADP60 for more information on FFIR. Commanders also describe information they want protected as essential elements of friendly information, EEFIs. An essential element of friendly information is a critical aspect of a friendly operation that, if known by a threat, would subsequently compromise, lead to failure, or limit success of the operation and therefore should be protected from enemy detection. ADP60. Although EEFIs are not CCIRs, they have the same priority. EEFIs establish elements of information to protect rather than elements to collect. See ADP60 for further discussion on information requirements. Note, Joint Doctrine describes an EEFI as critical information. Critical information includes specific facts about friendly intentions, capabilities, and activities needed by an enemy or adversary for them to plan and act effectively so as to guarantee failure or unacceptable consequences for friendly mission accomplishment, JP20. Incorporate tenets and imperatives of Army operations. Doctrine emphasizes the consideration of tenets and imperatives throughout the conduct of operations to improve the probability of success without dictating how to solve a tactical or operational problem. The tenets of operations are desirable attributes that should be built into all plans and operations. Imperatives are actions Army forces must take to defeat enemy forces and achieve objectives at acceptable cost. As with all things in warfare, they are not absolutes, but they are applied based on the best information available at that time. Tenets. Tenets of operations directly relate to how the Army's operational concept should be employed. Army forces employ capabilities to achieve desirable characteristics in a combined arms approach that creates complementary and reinforcing effects through multiple domains, while preserving combat power to maintain options for the Joint Force Commander, JFC. The degree to which an operation exhibits the tenets provides insight into the probability of success. The tenets of operations are agility, convergence, endurance, depth. Agility. Agility is the ability to move forces and adjust their dispositions and activities more rapidly than the enemy, FM30. The more agile a force is, the better it counters enemy actions and exploits windows of opportunity. Planners build agility into plans through shared understanding of the environment, use of predetermined decision points, graphic control measures, execution matrices, branch and sequel plans, and deliberate assessment processes. The better the force can act and react, the better it can influence the tempo of the operation and control the threat's decision cycle. Convergence. Convergence is an outcome created by the concerted employment of capabilities against combinations of decisive points in any domain to create effects against a system, formation, or decision maker, or in a specific geographic area. Planning for convergence requires detailed analysis, parallel planning, and orders that integrate capabilities and synchronize actions across the echelons. Air, space, and cyberspace tasking cycles operate on different time horizons. However, these cycles provide effects across all domains and operational areas. They can provide planners with the visibility of other planned actions so they can integrate and synchronize decisive points with others during execution. Anticipating effects during planning and executing those actions during the delivery of other effects can overwhelm enemy forces and allow friendly forces to gain the advantage. Endurance. Endurance is the ability to persevere over time throughout the depth of an operational environment, FM30. This includes the ability to absorb the enemy's attacks and press operations over the time and space necessary to accomplish the mission. Leadership and tactics contribute to endurance. Plans and decision-making that allow for different units to be the main effort using follow and support or follow and assume techniques prevent early culmination of the units first committed to close combat. Realistically planning for and assessing what tempo friendly forces can maintain given enemy resistance, weather, and physical distances, and the impact they have on soldiers, leaders, and equipment increases endurance over time. Developing schemes of maneuver that avoid enemy strengths and preserve combat power are less likely to negatively affect morale and maintain endurance. Planning and synchronizing sustainment operations are essential to endurance. using all methods for continuously delivering sustainment through land, maritime, and air capabilities at the correct time, place, and amounts improves endurance. Endurance requires planning and synchronization across warfighting functions. Depth. Depth is the extension of operations in time, space, or purpose to achieve definitive results, ADP3O. While the focus of endurance is on friendly combat power, the focus of depth is on enemy locations and dispositions across all domains. Commanders achieve depth by understanding the strengths and vulnerabilities of the enemy's echeloned capabilities, then attacking them throughout their dispositions in a simultaneous and sequential fashion. Although simultaneous attacks through all domains and in depth are not possible in every situation, leaders seek to expand their advantages and limit enemy opportunities for sanctuary and regeneration. To achieve depth, planners design plans that apply combat power throughout the enemy's formations and the OE for the purpose of securing successive operational objectives and consolidating gains as they achieve the objectives. Planners use depth when developing COAs that create simultaneous effects across the operational area. For example, they may plan simultaneous enabling operations in the deep area and operations in the close area while securing and building sustainment capability in the rear area. Planners also enhance the depth of their operations by orchestrating effects in one dimension to amplify effects in others. For example, they may use information operations to deter enemy actions or airstrikes to destroy enemy reinforcements. For more information on the tenets of operations, see FM3O. Imperatives. Imperatives are actions Army forces must take to defeat enemy forces and achieve objectives at acceptable costs. Imperatives are applicable across all planning methodologies. They are informed by the OE and the characteristics of the most capable threats Army forces can encounter. The imperatives are: see yourself, see the enemy, and understand the OE. Account for being under constant observation and all forms of enemy contact. Create and exploit relative physical, information, and human advantages in pursuit of decision dominance. Make initial contact with the smallest element possible. Impose multiple dilemmas on the enemy. Anticipate, plan, and execute transitions. Designate, wait, and sustain the main effort. Consolidate gains continuously. Understand and manage the effects of operations on units and soldiers. Commanders and staffs use imperatives to develop an understanding of an OE by examining the environment from both a friendly and enemy perspective during mission analysis and through the IPO process. This helps inform current and potential future advantages relative to enemy forces, allowing staffs to develop and adapt courses of action that exploit advantages and mitigate disadvantages. When developing courses of action, imperatives can be used to reinforce required actions at critical points in the operation, such as waiting efforts or planning for transitions. When analyzing COAs, imperatives can be used as evaluation criteria. Incorporating these actions throughout planning has historically increased the likelihood of success during execution. See FM3O for more information on the imperatives of operations. Apply critical thinking. Thinking includes awareness, perception, reasoning, and intuition. Thinking, however, may be faulty and biased. When information is lacking, individuals tend to rely on prior beliefs and assumptions about how and why events came to be and would normally transpire. In essence, these mindsets are a distillation of all that planners think they know about a subject. As planners evaluate information, they need to be aware that mindset and cognitive biases influence their thinking. They practice critical thinking to guard against faulty reasoning. Critical thinking is purposeful and reflective thought about what to believe or what to do in response to observations, experiences, verbal or written expressions, or arguments. By thinking critically, individuals formulate judgments about whether the information they encounter is true or false, or if it falls somewhere along a scale of plausibility between true or false. Critical thinking involves questioning information, assumptions, conclusions, and points of view to evaluate evidence, develop understanding, and clarify goals. Critical thinking helps commanders and staffs identify causes of problems, arrive at justifiable conclusions, and make good judgments. Critical thinking helps leaders counter their biases and avoid logic errors. Cognitive bias. A cognitive bias is an unconscious belief that conditions govern or compel human behavior. Just as planners must know their own mindset and its influence on conscious thought, they must also know other cognitive biases that influence their thinking. Some of the more common cognitive biases include confirmation bias, status quo bias, sunk cost bias, sample size bias, anchoring bias. See ATP 50.1 for additional discussion of common cognitive biases and logic errors. Logical fallacy. A logical fallacy is an error in logic. When analyzing information, the goal of analysis is to ascribe and validate meaning. When individuals make an argument, they offer reasons why others should accept their view or judgment. These reasons are premises, sometimes evidence, and the assertion that they support is called the conclusion. A sound argument meets the following conditions. The premises are acceptable and consistent. The premises are relevant to the conclusion and provide sufficient support for the conclusion, and missing components have been considered and are judged consistent with the conclusion. If the premises are dubious or if they do not warrant the conclusion, then the argument is fallacious. Common logic fallacies include arguments against the person, appeal to unqualified authority, red herring, weak analogy. For more information on logical fallacy, see ATP 50.1. Apply creative thinking. There are no planning checklists or set solutions that adequately apply to every military problem. The operational and mission variables always combine to form a different set of circumstances. Creative thinking helps planners examine problems for a fresh perspective to develop innovative solutions. Creative thinking helps generate new and useful ideas, and it reevaluates or combines old ideas to solve new problems. Creative thinking involves breaking old habits of thought, questioning the status quo, visualizing a better future, and devising unique responses to problems. There are numerous creative thinking tools available to commanders and staffs, such as brainstorming, mind mapping, and the four ways of seeing as described in ATP 50.1. Encourage collaboration and dialogue. Collaboration and dialogue facilitate critical and creative thinking and help to develop shared understanding within the headquarters and externally with other commands and unified action partners. Collaboration is two or more people or organizations working together toward common goals by sharing knowledge and building consensus. Dialogue is a way to collaborate that involves the candid exchange of ideas or opinions among participants and encourages frank discussions in areas of disagreement. Throughout the operations process, commanders, subordinate commanders, staffs, and unified action partners collaborate and dialogue by sharing and questioning information, perceptions, and ideas to understand situations and make decisions. Through collaboration and dialogue, leaders create a learning environment by allowing participants to think critically and creatively and share their ideas, opinions, and recommendations without fear of retribution. Effective dialogue requires candor and a free yet mutually respectful competition of ideas. Participants must feel free to make viewpoints based on their expertise, experience, and insight. This includes sharing ideas that contradict the opinions held by those of higher rank. Successful commanders listen to novel ideas and counterarguments concerning any problem. Dialogue is the catalyst that drives planning teams to develop new ways of thinking about problems and identify innovative solutions. Effective dialogue ensures team members may question one another about ideas, discuss alternatives, and refine the team's thinking. When done well, dialogue helps reveal assumptions that underlie an argument or concept and reveal individual biases. Reveal what members are not thinking about the situation. Display diversity of ideas and expose a range of viewpoints. Avoid groupthink and explore concepts from different perspectives. Reveal areas where the team lacks diversity or experience and where external subject matter experts are valuable. Develop shared mental models, individual beliefs about cause-effect relationships and assumptions and biases about how the world works concerning problems and solutions. Build trust in the team and the planning effort. Effective collaboration and dialogue are not possible unless the commander ensures it. Commanders establish a culture of collaboration and dialogue in the organization. They recognize that they do not know everything, they can be wrong, and they have something to learn from even the most junior soldier or unified action partner. Throughout the operations process, commanders demonstrate humility to learn and understand from others to make better decisions. Commanders establish a command climate where collaboration and dialogue routinely occur throughout the organization through personal example, coaching, and mentorship. Optimize available planning time. Time is a critical variable in all operations. Therefore, time management is important in planning. Whether done deliberately or rapidly, all planning requires the skillful use of available time to optimize planning and preparation throughout the unit. Taking more time to plan often results in greater synchronization. However, any delay in execution risks yielding the initiative to the enemy. When allocating planning time to staffs, commanders must ensure subordinates have enough time to plan and prepare their own actions prior to execution. Commanders follow the 1/3-2/3 rule as a guide to allocate time available. They use 1/3 of the time available before execution for their planning, and they allocate the remaining 2/3 of the time available before execution to their subordinates for planning and preparation. Both collaborative planning and parallel planning help optimize available planning time. Collaborative planning is two or more echelons planning together in real time, sharing information, perceptions, and ideas to develop their respective plans simultaneously, ADP 5.0. This type of planning speeds planning efforts as organizations share their understanding of the situation, participate in co-development and decision-making together, and develop their respective plans or orders as opposed to waiting for a higher echelon to complete the plan prior to beginning planning. Parallel planning is two or more echelons planning for the same operations nearly simultaneously, facilitated by the use of warning orders by the higher headquarters, ADP 5.0. In this type of planning, several echelons developing their plans in parallel shorten planning time across the force. The higher-level headquarters shares information concerning future operations with subordinate units through warnords and other means. Frequent communication between commanders and staffs and sharing of information, such as IPO products, helps subordinate headquarters plan. Commanders are careful not to burden subordinates with planning requirements too far into the future. Generally, the higher the echelon of the headquarters, the more time and resources staffs have available to plan and explore options. Higher headquarters involve subordinates with developing those options that have the highest likelihood of being adopted. Focus on the right planning horizon. The defining challenges to effective planning are uncertainty and time. Tension exists when commanders determine how far ahead to plan effectively, but without adequate preparation and coordination, planning becomes irrelevant. Planning too far into the future may overwhelm the capabilities of planning staffs, especially subordinate staffs. Not planning far enough ahead may result in losing the initiative and being unprepared. Understanding this tension is key to ensuring that the command focuses on the right planning horizon. Planning horizons are critical to maintaining the initiative by staying ahead of enemy decision-making. A planning horizon is a point in time commanders use to focus the organization's planning efforts to shape future events, ADP 5.0. Planning horizons may be measured in weeks, months, or years, or in hours and days, depending on the echelon and situation. Organizations often plan simultaneously in several different horizons, especially at division and higher echelons. To guide their planning efforts, commanders use three planning horizons: short range, mid range, and long range. The range of planning directly correlates with the certainty commanders have of attaining the end state. Short range planning is conducted under conditions of relative certainty when commanders believe they can reasonably forecast events, assign resources, and commit to a particular plan. Short range planning normally results in an op-ord or frag-ord for execution. In conditions of moderate certainty, mid-range planning focuses on developing several options to the base plan, normally resulting in a branch plan or sequel. Beyond the mid-range planning horizon, the situation normally involves significant uncertainty. Long-range planning focuses on situations with high uncertainty and ambiguous problems, and it involves planning for specific contingencies, campaigns, strategies, and the development of initial plans and orders for major operations. Commanders use the long-range planning horizon to develop broad concepts, for example, an O plan in concept form, addressing several different circumstances over a longer time period. If significant uncertainty exists, the commander may direct the staff to develop branch plans to reduce the risks associated with an uncertain future. Develop and maintain accurate running estimates. Developing and maintaining accurate running estimates is critical to effective planning. A running estimate is the continuous assessment of the current situation used to determine if the current operation is proceeding according to the commander's intent and if planned future operations are supportable, ADP50. Running estimates assist commanders and staffs with understanding situations, assessing progress, and making decisions throughout an operation. Effective plans and successful execution hinge on current and accurate running estimates. Because a commander may need an estimate at any time, staffs develop, update, and continuously revise running estimates while in garrison and during operations. At a minimum, staffs maintain a running estimate on friendly capabilities while in garrison or when not actively engaged in operations. Commanders and staff sections immediately begin updating their running estimates upon receipt of a mission. They continue to build and maintain their running estimates throughout the operations process in planning, preparation, execution, and assessment. Each staff section maintains a running estimate within its specified area of expertise, for example, intelligence, fires, sustainment, or personnel. Upon receipt of a new mission or in anticipation of one, staff members immediately begin to update their running estimates. When building and maintaining a running estimate, staff sections monitor current operations and continuously consider the following items in the context of operations: facts, assumptions, friendly considerations, including location, activity, and combat power of subordinate units from two echelons below them, enemy considerations, including composition, disposition, and strength, civil considerations, conclusions and recommendations with associated risk. Note: informational considerations should be accounted for in the friendly, enemy, and civil considerations. They are the aspects of how humans and automated systems derive meaning from, use, act upon, and are impacted by information. Running estimates cover essential facts and assumptions, including a summary of the current situation. A fact is something known to exist or have happened, a statement known to be true. Facts concerning the operational and mission variables serve as the basis for developing situational understanding during planning. When listing facts, planners ensure they are directly relevant to a COA or help commanders make a decision. Any captured, recorded, and most importantly, briefed fact must add value to the planning conversation. An assumption provides a supposition about the current situation or future course of events, presumed to be true in the absence of facts. Assumptions must be valid, logical and realistic, and necessary for planning to continue. Assumptions address gaps in knowledge that are critical for the planning process to continue. Assumptions may be validated by submitting requests for information to the higher echelon headquarters and receiving information that confirms those assumptions. Information collection assets are also directed to confirm or deny assumptions. Staffs continually review assumptions to ensure validity and to challenge them if they appear unrealistic. Commanders and staffs use care with assumptions to ensure they are not based on preconceptions, bias, false historical analogies, or simple wishful thinking. Accepting a broad assumption without understanding its sub-level components often leads to other faulty assumptions. Key points concerning the use of assumptions include: assumptions must be necessary, logical, realistic, and considered likely to be true. Too many assumptions result in a higher probability that the plan or proposed solution may be invalid. The use of assumptions requires the staff to develop branches to execute if one or more key assumptions prove false. Running estimates include recommendations and associated risks for anticipated decisions. During planning, commanders use these recommendations to select valid, meaning feasible, acceptable, suitable, distinguishable, and complete, COAs for further analysis. During preparation and execution, commanders use recommendations from running estimates to inform their decision-making. Develop simple, flexible plans and orders. Commanders stress the importance of developing simple, flexible plans and orders. Simplicity is a principle of war. It is critical to effective planning. Staffs prepare clear, concise plans and orders to ensure thorough understanding of the commander's intent and concept of operations. Planners promote simplicity by minimizing details where possible and by limiting the actions or tasks to what the situation requires. Subordinates can then develop specifics within the commander's intent. For example, instead of assigning a route, planners can designate an axis of advance. Developing shorter plans helps maintain simplicity. Shorter plans are easier to disseminate, read, and remember. Flexible plans help units adapt quickly to changing circumstances. Commanders and planners build opportunities for initiative into plans by anticipating events. This allows them to operate inside of the enemy's decision cycle or to react promptly to deteriorating situations. Incorporating options to reduce risk, such as designating a large mobile reserve, adds flexibility to a plan. identifying decision points and designing branches and sequels with requisite graphics ahead of time, combined with a clear commander's intent, helps create flexible plans. Develop a unit planning standard operating procedure. Developing and using a PSOP assists in more effectively and efficiently developing complete plans and orders. PSOPs should include example decision-making products that are validated by the commander, staff, and subordinate units in training to ensure that the orders produced by the staff are useful. Staffs develop PSOPs to standardize planning duties, responsibilities, and procedures. PSOPs can decrease the time spent preparing for a planning event and increase the efficiency and effectiveness of the planning conducted during an operation. Staffs generally use training events to exercise their PSOPs and make any necessary adjustments or refinements at the conclusion of the event. Changes in personnel, equipment, types of operations being conducted, or the environment in which they are conducted may change the way a unit approaches and conducts planning. Things commonly listed in a PSOP include but are not limited to personnel designated to form the planning team or teams, planning team member duties and responsibilities, planning sequences and timelines, planning methods used and criteria for selecting each, planning and briefing areas and setups, briefing formats and instructions, orders formats and dissemination instructions, planning pitfalls. Commanders and staffs recognize the value of planning and avoid common planning pitfalls. These pitfalls generally stem from a common cause: the failure to appreciate the unpredictability and uncertainty of military operations. Pointing these out is not a criticism of planning, but of planning improperly. Common planning pitfalls include lacking commander involvement, failing of the commander to make timely decisions, attempting to forecast and dictate events too far into the future, trying to plan in too much detail, using the plan as a script for execution, institutionalizing rigid planning methods, lacking a sufficient level of planning detail. The first pitfall is the lack of commander involvement in the development of the plan. The responsibility for planning is inherent in command. Commanders are the central figures in effective planning. Since the plan describes their visualization of the end state and how the force will achieve that end state, commanders must devote significant time and effort to the development of plans and orders. In the absence of the commander, key planning staff members must continually review progress and resolve questions and concerns with the commander at opportune times. The second pitfall is a lack of timely decisions by the commander necessary to continue effective planning. Pending or missing decisions can hinder the planning process and reduce developing a flexible and timely plan. In a rapidly changing and fluid environment, a lack of timely decisions can result in a loss of agility, initiative, or opportunities. The lack of timely decisions and timely plan development also inhibits subordinate planning and may unintentionally increase risk to the mission and force. The third pitfall, attempting to forecast and dictate events too far into the future, may result from believing a plan can control the future. Planners tend to plan based on assumptions that the future will be a linear continuation of the present. These plans often underestimate the scope of changes in directions that may occur and the results of second and third order effects. Even the most effective plans cannot anticipate all the unexpected events. Often events overcome plans much sooner than anticipated. The best analysis could simply be an understanding of what transition is most likely to occur, from which the most likely branches or sequels can be identified. Effective plans include sufficient branches and sequels to account for the non-linear nature of events. The fourth pitfall consists of trying to plan in too much detail. Sound plans include necessary details. However, planning in unnecessary detail consumes limited time and resources that subordinates need. This pitfall often stems from the desire to leave as little as possible to chance. In general, the less certain the situation, the fewer details a plan should include. However, planners often respond to uncertainty by planning in more detail to try to account for every possibility. Often, this overplanning results in an extremely detailed plan that does not survive the friction of the situation and constricts effective action. A good plan only includes details needed to coordinate or synchronize actions of two or more subordinate units and accomplish the mission, achieve the objective, or produce the desired effect. The fifth pitfall, using the plan as a script for execution, tries to prescribe the course of events with precision. When planners fail to recognize the limits of foresight and control, the plan can become a coercive and overly regulatory mechanism. Commanders, staffs, and subordinates mistakenly focus on meeting the requirements of the plan rather than deciding and acting effectively. The sixth pitfall is the danger of institutionalizing rigid planning methods that lead to inflexible or overly structured thinking. This pitfall tends to make planning rigidly focused on the process and produces plans that overly emphasize detailed procedures. Effective planning provides a disciplined framework for approaching and solving complex problems. Taking that discipline to the extreme often results in subordinates not getting plans on time or getting overly detailed plans instead of using mission-type orders. The seventh pitfall is the danger of insufficient planning detail. While planning with too much detail may consume too much time and result in plans which are overly constraining to subordinates, plans with too little detail result in unsynchronized and uncoordinated actions of subordinate units. Some operations, for example a gap crossing, air assault, or obstacle breach, require detailed planning to synchronize the coordinated actions of subordinate units to ensure success. Determining the right balance of detail and permissiveness requires a trained and experienced staff with commander involvement. Multinational operations planning. Multinational operations is a collective term to describe military actions conducted by forces of two or more nations, usually undertaken within the structure of a coalition or alliance, JP3-16. These operations are driven by a common agreement among nations participating in an alliance or as coalition partners. While each nation has its own interests and often participates within the limitations of national caveats, all nations bring value to an operation. Each nation's force has unique capabilities, and each usually contributes to the operation's legitimacy in terms of international or local acceptability. Army forces should anticipate that most operations will be multinational operations and plan accordingly. Key to any multinational operation is unity of effort among national and military leaders of participating nations emphasizing common objectives and shared interests, as well as mutual support and respect. For missions known or anticipated to involve unified action partners, collaboration should occur as early as possible to begin concurrent or parallel planning. Liaison exchange should also be considered when permissible to enable future planning efforts. Agreement on clearly identified strategic and military end states for the multinational force is essential to guide all multinational coordination, planning, and execution. Three types of multinational planning efforts United States Army forces commonly participate in are bilateral, joint, and North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, planning efforts. Bilateral planning efforts. When directed, designated United States commanders participate directly with the armed forces of other nations in preparing bilateral plans. Commanders and their staffs assess the potential constraints, opportunities, security risks, and any additional vulnerabilities resulting from bilateral planning and how these plans impact the ability of the United States to achieve its objectives. Bilateral planning involves the preparation of combined, mutually developed, and approved plans governing the employment of the forces of two nations for a common contingency. Bilateral planning may be accomplished within the framework of a treaty or alliance, or it may be accomplished in the absence of such arrangements. Bilateral planning is accomplished in accordance with specific guidance provided by the President, Secretary of Defense, or Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, CJCS, and captured in bilateral strategic guidance signed by the leadership of both countries. For more information on bilateral planning, see FM3-16. Joint planning efforts. Joint planning will frequently be accomplished within the context of multinational planning. Multinational force commanders develop multinational strategies and plans in multinational channels. Supporting United States JFCs perform planning for multinational operations in United States national channels using joint planning. Coordination for these separate planning channels occurs at the national level through established multinational bodies or member nations. Coordination at the theater strategic and operational levels is conducted by JFCs who are responsible within both channels for planning matters. United States doctrine and procedures for joint planning are applicable to multinational challenges. The general considerations for interaction with international organizations and partner nation organizations are similar to those for interaction with United States government departments and agencies. For more information on joint planning, see JP50. NATO planning efforts. For NATO's operations, the United States and other NATO countries have developed and ratified an Allied Joint Doctrine hierarchy of publications, outlining the doctrine and tactics, techniques, and procedures that should be used during NATO operations. JFCs, their staffs, and subordinate forces should review and train with these publications prior to participating in NATO operations. For more information on NATO planning doctrine, see AJP-5, Allied Joint Doctrine for the Planning of Operations, or APP-28, Tactical Planning for Land Forces. Multinational planning considerations. Multinational operations present unique challenges and demands throughout the planning process. Commanders and staffs should account for these considerations when participating in multinational operations. The following are some of the considerations when planning multinational operations: cultural and language issues, interoperability challenges, national caveats on the use of respective forces, the sharing of information and intelligence, rules of engagement, domestic and international laws, operational limitations on the use of contributed forces, weapons capabilities of participating nations, tactics of participating nations. For more information on multinational operations planning, see FM 3-16.